This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
This morning, I've got such an unction in my heart to share with you a little bit more from my heart. I'm busy with a series that I call Heart to Heart, and it's not so much a lot of principles and stuff, just things the Lord has placed in my heart that I want to share with you. And quickly want to give you some feedback. I bring you greetings from Shofar London and Shofar Utrecht. We had an amazing time with them. The Lord was good to us. We had some delays in terms of our flights. We were going to leave 2 weeks ago, the Sunday evening. We eventually left the Monday, but we managed to get away. And we had a great time. We drove up to Scotland. Had an amazing time there. There it's summer, but it was raining all the time. But apparently that's their summer for them. So at least it didn't get dark at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then, so it was a good time. But I've never seen so many sheep in my life. I know how many of you guys have been to Scotland. There's just sheep everywhere in all of those mountains and against the cliffs. And some of the sheep look like they've been crossed with goats. But it's okay. But it's just amazing. Such a beautiful, beautiful country. Went to Edinburgh and Glasgow and spent some time with Shofar family there as well. And then we went to Shofar Wimbledon, preached there. And then went to the coast, spent a day with Hercules and Milani. In Eastbourne, and I've got a few pictures there. If you, Justin, if you can put that out, you can't see them. Maybe you can switch off the lights. Sorry, you don't see that too clearly. But there on the right hand side is a bit of a sunset. We went to a place called Beachy Head is the name of the place. It's from there. You can see all the way over the English Channel, almost to Calais. It's quite far, but you can sort of see it in the distance. Ah, shucks, man, this picture's out too small. You can't see it. But over here, that's me with Katie on my shoulders. There's Hercules' calves with Zoe on his shoulders. All right, and so we're walking there in amongst the cattle and the sheep, and it's just so, so beautiful. And it's amazing to have our kids with us. And that's Hercules, his shadow, that's me. Hercules is pointing to the nations and we're plotting where we're going to plant churches and how we're going to take the gospel into Germany and into France and just dreaming a bit. And it's so good to have friends that we can dream with, amen. I hope you've got a dreaming buddy. I hope you've got a dreaming buddy. Someone with whom you can dream about impossible things. Anton and myself, in 1995, we were in Malawi, and we dreamt about how God was going to use us in the kingdom. We were 18 years old, and God has done more than what we even dreamt of. I hope you've got a dreaming buddy. Here's my best dreaming buddy, my beautiful wife. She's resting a bit this morning, and so we were on this this cliff, and there's this lighthouse right there at the bottom. And it was a beautiful, beautiful morning, and what was fascinating, let's go to the next picture, sort of gives you a better idea, right? So there you can see it a little bit better. So the picture now where you saw Nikki and myself, so we were now on the left-hand side over there, right, with that lighthouse behind us. Isn't that beautiful? And it's one of the highest cliffs in that area, and it's so beautiful, so awe-inspiring. And so there's another lighthouse. So just go back to the previous one. So there's a lighthouse, and then a couple of hundred meters to the right, there's another lighthouse. But the fascinating thing, what happened was, they go back to the, or go to the next one, yeah. That lighthouse, they actually had to move that lighthouse a couple of years ago because the ground upon which they had built the lighthouse was busy eroding because of rain and wind and stuff. And so they had to move it with obviously millions of pounds, the cost involved. They had to move that thing before it completely collapsed. But if you go back to the previous slide, Justin, then that lighthouse isn't going anywhere. That baby isn't being moved by anything because it is built upon the rock. And I was just standing, I was just so in awe again of that simple, like Gustav says, the simple things, simple reality that there you have a magnificent structure, the other one is beautiful, and it's been designed for a purpose, and it's doing its purpose, but its foundation is shaky. And so the foundation had to be rebuilt. But that other lighthouse, it's on the rock. It's on the rock, and the waves can beat themselves silly. The wind can blow. The rain can come. That lighthouse isn't moving because it is built upon the rock. And so as I was thinking about this, the Lord reminded me of this beautiful verse in Psalm 27, verse 5. And I'm going to share a little bit this morning out of Psalm 27, some more. And from the New English translation says that He will surely give me shelter in the day of danger. He will surely give me shelter in the day of danger. He will hide me in His home. And He will place me on an inaccessible rocky summit. I like that. He will surely give me shelter in the day of danger. He will hide me in His home, and He will place me on an inaccessible rocky summit. The fascinating thing about Beachy Head, such a beautiful place, such an awe-inspiring place. I mean, you just dream about possibilities. You see the sunset, you see the cattle. It's so inspiring. You know, you stand there and you just want to worship God. You sort of want to just fall down on your knees and just worship the Lord of all creation. But you know what? That is also the place where every year thousands of people have to be rescued. Not thousands, hundreds. But since 1964, 65, I think about 550 people have committed suicide right there. In that very same beautiful spot. The same place that inspires worship, the same place that would want to cause you to dream, can also be a place that causes somebody just to step over the edge. They've had enough. It is the third most notorious place for committing suicides in the world. That very same place that the Hercules Isle, where we were dreaming, the very same place that was so inspirational. And I realized again that it is not so much what is around you that determines your perspective on life. It's what's inside of you. You can be in the most beautiful place and be without hope and end your life. And you can be in a tiny little shack and have the glory of God there and have hope. And I was so touched by this and moved when I read this, because we were standing there and then we saw these patrol cars going up and down where the ministers, with their cloaks and the, what do you call a burqi, the collar. They've got guys on 24/7 patrol there, looking out for people who want to jump, so they can counsel them and minister to them. And I was wondering, when we think about the harvest, again, just where did it happen in that person's life that the message of hope either didn't get to them, or their heart was so crusted over that they couldn't receive that hope. And then this verse comes to me and says that God will hide us in His home. He will hide us in this shelter, in this place, this inaccessible rock, in the midst of danger. And as beautiful as that place was, it was actually a dangerous place for many. And I'm looking at that light tower, and I'm looking at this verse that says that He will hide me in His home. And I'm coming across people in Europe who have fled South Africa. Many, many people. By the way, there are now more black people emigrating than white people, right? So it's not a white thing. People are running away from South Africa. People are running away from circumstances. And I come across them and I meet them and we have conversations, and there's a deep, massive longing in their hearts for home. Massive. But they cannot break through what they see. And I have respect for that, and I'm not belittling that, because we are in very real danger on many different fronts. But what I realized is that those 5,500 people didn't commit suicide in South Africa. They committed suicide in a first world country with all of the things in place. So it's not leaving South Africa, going to a first world country that will solve your problems. It's not, are you sheltered? Are you sheltered? Are you sheltered? That's really the key. And so yesterday, just going to Durbanville, DF Milan, our kids had a school sports day there. And it was amazing. It's been a while since I've been to Belleville. It's been a while since I've listened to a lot of Afrikaans music. There's some interesting music out there that the guys play. Praise God for Afrikaans. Lekker, ons lekker in Afrikaans gesing vanoggend. But there's a song about lemoene and watlemoene. And die, I was like, did I just hear that? Dani, ken jy daai liedjie? Het ek het hom net gehoor. Did I really hear? It's okay, Hayden. It's better that you don't know. Anyway, so it's pumping. It's like lekker. But you know, it's just so incredible. So there are like tons of schools there. The parents are there. And we are able to start the day and have a moment of silence and thank God for healthy bodies. That's still where we live in South Africa. And my friends overseas, so one of the things they miss the most is community, because all the sports take place outside of school in clubs. So you don't have that sense of community, and nobody's doing anything together anymore. He drives his kids to tennis and to hockey, but there are no other parents there. And just little things that they miss. And I'm thinking about, why do we make the decisions that we make? Then I meet another couple, and they're living in Malta. Napoleon was banished to Malta. I don't know if you guys know that. And this couple moved from Pretoria, and so they told me their story, and they said, we had an opportunity to go. He's working for PSG, I think, one of the auditing firms. And he said that they came to him and they gave him a few options. And the thing that he looked at first is, where is their life-giving church? What is God saying to me about the kingdom? Where's their church that I need to join, strengthen, or maybe I need to go and plant a church? But his perspective was, what is God's purpose for my life? And I make my decision based upon God's purpose. And I'm saying, bless you going to Malta. We can partner and send a mission team and whatever. And so they're busy doing some incredible things, because the church that's there is really struggling, and they're making a difference there because of everything that they have received. And he's a chartered accountant who lives with a passion to see the Maltese being reached with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that changes everything. And I say, if you have to go, go, but go with purpose. But don't go because you're running away from something. Because that thing is just going to follow you. And in the moment when you don't know your shelter, if you don't know your rock. So I want to ask us, are you sheltered? Do you know your rock? Because there are intense times, and I don't want to be a prophet of doom, but there are intense times heading our way. There are intense times heading our way. And we can bury our head in the sand, or we can say, right, Lord Jesus, will you help me to be sheltered, anchored in you? Because God desires for us, not just for church, not just to be a shelter from our environment or shelter from the city or shelter from the country, but he desires the church to be a shelter for the city and for the country. Amen. God isn't just wanting us to run into this lighthouse and hide away from all the baddies out there, from the big bad wolf. He actually wants us to take as many people as possible into that shelter. Driving through Scotland and England, of course, they are just castles everywhere. These massive places. They were created to be safe places so that people can run into it and be protected. And I know that God, through his presence, through his word, through his spirit, wants to create a safe place for us again. He will hide us in his home. He will place us on an inaccessible rocky summit. So I'm going to speak to you a little bit more out of Psalm 27 this morning, and I'm not going to get through many verses, but I want to sort of take you through this psalm, sort of the first five verses, sort of one verse at a time. And I just want to, an interesting experience. We were in Eindhoven, outside Amsterdam, and a beautiful place. Jan, have you been to Eindhoven? It's beautiful. Flat, but green. No inclines, it's an incredible place to cycle and to run. So by the way, Hercules and two other guys, they cycled from London to Amsterdam just to pray. To pray, say, Lord, we thank you that you're taking us to the nation. You're giving us this nation. We claim this for the kingdom of God. And so they're planning another cycle tour around the UK into Scotland. And so any of you crazy guys want to cycle with them, you're welcome. I would get you the details. But We were there, and I was sharing a verse, and the Lord just got me stuck on the introduction of that psalm, and I realized again how rich the Word of God is, and I sense in my heart that one of the biggest shelters God is wanting to give us is a love for His Word. If we're not rooted in His Word, die wijse man bou sy huis op die rots. If we're not based in God's Word, if God's Word isn't our perspective through which we look at everything around us, then we are on shaky ground. So little Benjamin looks at his dad, stands in awe of him. Our primary way of looking at our dad is through the Word of God. If we don't know the Word of God, it is very difficult even to recognize God when He appears on the scene. It's very difficult to stand in awe of God in worship or to recognize God in the workplace if we don't know God. If we don't know His character, we don't know what He does and how He does it. How will you recognize Him if you don't know what He looks like? How will you recognize Him if you don't know what He looks like? I can spot my wife out of 1,000 other women by the way she walks. That's her walk. I know it. Spent years studying it. Before I had the courage to ask her to become my wife, studied that walk, planned my walks to coincide with her walk, heading back home. It was divine connections. Holy Spirit was on my side. It was good. Hey, some of you guys, not married yet, get the Holy Spirit on your side, all right? Involve Him in the courting process. He's the best matchmaker out there. Get Him involved. He will give you ideas about what kind of flowers to buy, when to be where. He is more romantic than you can ever think. Some of you oaks in your marriages where you've lost the spark, ask the Holy Spirit, bring back the spark. All right, He knows your wife better than what you do. And what was amazing for me is to just once again get back to the Word. And I'm spending time in the Word of God, guys, and I must tell you, it is so exciting. And I'm thankful and privileged to be able to preach the Word. It is a joy of my life. But Psalm 27 verse 1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may rise or encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing, it's the word echad, one thing I've desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble," it's New King James translation of the verse we just read, "for in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret place of His tabernacle He shall hide me. He shall set my feet high upon a rock." This afternoon, a few churches are getting together at 3 o'clock on the N2. Pastor Kubus, Masain, what's his surname? Debbie? Ah, Desiree, Masain. He's organizing a prayer walk for different churches to come together. And we are going to usher the N2 into the secret place of the Most High. We're going to say, "Lord, this road that has been earmarked by the forces of darkness and evil to kill people and to maim and to hijack, we are saying no by the authority that You have given us as Your church." And I want to ask you guys if you can join us from 3 to 4, meet the RGS, walk down to, I think it's the robot, they're close to the BP. Some church is going to join us from the Mzamo side and Chris Nissan side. We're just going to worship God, praise Him, and just pray God's purpose over that road. But God has given the N2 to His church, amen? Is given the N2 to us to steward. And we can sit back and allow forces of darkness to do what they want to do. Or we can say, enough is enough. Do we have a God who's all powerful? Do we have a God who has given us the keys of authority? If we have, then it's time for us to exercise that. But it's difficult to exercise it if you yourself feel insecure. It's difficult to step out there against Goliath if you don't know that God has given you the victory over the lion and over the bear. It's difficult to say, but God will protect the people on this road. And we are saying, "God, is Your kingdom come here?" If I'm doubting whether God can keep me safe. And the only way we can have ourselves rooted in that knowledge is to be rooted in the Word of God. The Lord is my light and my salvation. I like what David does there. He says, he doesn't just say the Lord is light and the Lord is salvation. Because we can say that, can't we? The Lord is light. Beautiful, magnificent, glorious light, incredible light, and we can study that light, and we can look at it through the telescope, and we can write books on that light, and we can debate with Stephen Dawkins about that light, and we can be fascinated with that light and do all sorts of things with that light. But until we say, "That light is my light," that light really doesn't mean too much to me. That light is mala. That the little word my there is in English terms, it's a possessive pronoun. It's my light. My light. The Lord is my light and my salvation. And I believe that the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, is wanting to get us as a church again to start taking ownership of some things the Lord has given us. Some of us need to take back things which we know is ours, and we have lost it, we have abdicated it, we have given it away, we have allowed the world to take it from us, and we need to take it back. And how do we take it back? We don't take it back by marching into places and stealing things and claiming it. Then we take it back by the Word of God. We take it back by agreeing by what the Word of God says. That's how you take it back. Because your words determine your inheritance. Your words determine your inheritance. What we speak is what we possess. So if we speak fear, we will possess fear. If we speak lack, we will possess lack. God is watchful over His word to perform it. And it's a basic truth, saints, but the world has shifted us, and the spirit of the world has shifted us away from having our lives just built upon the foundation of the word again. And what happens? We become passive. We become intimidated, and the first thing that goes out of the door is the words of our mouths. And we can think the word, we can meditate upon the word, but until we speak the word, true change is not going to come. We've got to speak the word, and I'm not saying just claim everything and just speak a lot of stuff. I met somebody the other day and introduced himself as Prophet so-and-so. Prophet so-and-so. He might be, might not be, I don't know. But it's interesting, he started giving me some prophecies, and some of them were on, some of them were like, I think you're prophesying that out of your own mind. But Lord, if that is from you, let it be, let it come to pass. I'm not going to judge. But he's been following up on those prophecies, sending me some texts. Most of this prophecy is around breakthrough coming, financial breakthrough coming. And I'm like, yeah, Jesus, I can take that. Thank you, Lord, I can take that. But at the same time, I'm not going to run after those things. I'm not going to have my heart being enticed after those things. And it's so easy just to give people prophecies and give them words because they will like that word. Everybody will like it. Hallelujah, my ship is coming in. I take that, I claim that in Jesus' name. That's a lack of one to take. All right? And God's heart towards us is good. God's heart towards us is to bless us. All right, so don't also throw the baby out of the bathwater, because sometimes we get so offended with false prophets, we miss that God does want to bless us. God does want to bless us. And I'm going to touch on that a little bit now, but He is our Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. And there is incredible blessing coming our way. But if we are not rooted in the Word of God, those blessings can even lead us astray. Because we start losing sight of our purpose. We start losing sight of the character God has built inside of us. The Lord is my light and my salvation. He's my light. In Psalm 18 verse 28, Justin. Psalm 18 verse skip. Yeah, 18 verse 28. David says that Lord, you will light my lamp. I like that. It says, you will light my lamp. For the Lord will enlighten my darkness. Remember, the Lord is my light and my salvation. And then he goes and he says, the Lord will light my lamp. What is that light? That light primarily is the Word of God. Remember Psalm 119 says that the Word of God, it is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. So if I say that the Lord is my light, I'm primarily talking here about God's ability to lead me. God's ability to lead me. My heart was broken for the amount of people, gifted, talented, resourceful people I met overseas, was stumbling around in darkness, not knowing what they are doing. He's simply chasing a job and he's unhappy. And his wife is pining away at home because of the fact there's no purpose. There's no connection to the body of Christ. There's simply just a job. I'm just after that job. You are stumbling in the darkness. You've got no light leading you. And David says, Lord, you will light my lamp. You will light my lamp. And I sense in my heart that for some of us, even we might be trapped in some confusion. We are unsure about the purposes of God. And I want you to take that word and receive it. Say, Lord, you are my light. I don't have to be confused. I don't have to doubt your will. I don't have to wonder about where are you taking me. I don't have to follow people's opinions. I don't have to follow the media. I don't have to follow, because which newspaper will you believe? The burger or the citizen or what? What will you believe? Which newspaper will determine where you are going? Come on now. We spend a lot of our time meditating and talking and planning around what the media says. Can we spend our time planning and thinking and dreaming around what the Word of God says, saints? Can we be that people? But it's not going to happen overnight. We have to take ownership once again of the Word of God. The Lord is my light. It's not Shofar's light, Heinrich's light, that movement's light, or He's my light. You have to make it personal. As you sit here and you listen to the Word and you go back home, you have to make these words personal. If you don't make it personal, you are wasting your time. And your time is too short. Your life is too precious. Please don't just come to church and just listen to the words of some preacher. Make it personal. God, out of all the things that He said in those 40 minutes, He spoke a lot of stories. There were a lot of things. Some of the jokes were funny. Some of them not that funny. But God, what is the one thing I need to walk away with? Because I want to make that personal. I want to engrave that in my heart. I want to say, Lord, that is mine. I'm going to pray into that. I'm going to meditate upon that. The Lord is my light and my salvation. If you are trapped in darkness, then there's that beautiful promise that David meditates upon. He says, the Lord will light my lamp and He will enlighten my darkness. His light will rush into my darkness. Come on, John 1 says that in Him was life, and that life was the light of men. And that light shines into the darkness, and the darkness cannot resist it, cannot comprehend it. So if you have some darkness, what is darkness? Darkness is simply something that is confused, something that doesn't conform to the purposes of God. I had areas like that in my life. There might still be some hidden ones. Job says, Lord, teach me the things that I do not know. I love that. Teach me the things that I do not know. There's some things hidden away in our lives, and we don't even know it's there unless the Lord shines His light. And so last night, I was praying, I was meditating upon the Word, and the Lord took me to a certain portion in Scripture, and He started just speaking to me. And it did some things in my heart. I says, God, I thank You for Your light. I thank You for the revelation of Your Word. I thank You You can speak to me, little Heinrich Titus, in South Africa, someone said, West, out of the billions of people upon the face of this planet, You can speak to me from Your Word and change my life and change my perspective and invade my room, invade my space. And I'm having a Holy Ghost party all by myself with the Holy Spirit, with the Word of God. Why? Because I took some time out to get into the Word and to allow the Word to wash me and wash me and wash me and wash me and shine His light on me and shine His light on me until He puts His finger on that one thing. That one thing. And that one thing shifts me and changes me. You will enlighten my darkness. His light rushes in. I know many of us have stumbled around in the darkness in our homes, hit your toe against something. And I think it's the time many of us speak in tongues. When you switch the light rushes in. Chases out the darkness. We need people of light. There's enough darkness around us. We need to be able to walk with the light of God. And saints, I want to encourage you, invite God. If there's an area of darkness, an area of confusion, an area in your life that maybe you know, man, this isn't what I know God has in store for me. Invite His life in there. Invite His light in there. It says, darkness, I will not. Despair, hopelessness, anger, shame, frustration. I'm not just going to allow you. I'm not just going to submit to you and accept. This is just the way that I am. Ek is nou maar so en so. My hele familie is so en so. Suid-Afrika is so en so. Man, basta met dit. Is dit wat die woord van God sê? Is it what the word of God says? And if it's not, then shine God's light in there. Ask Him, Holy Spirit, come and invade this area of my life. Enlighten my darkness. And have His word just rush in there. Because He is ready to perform His word, saints. He is ready. Then the second part of that verse, I love it. It says, for by you I can run against a troop. And by my God, capital letter G, sorry about that. By my God, I can leap over a wall. I don't know how many of you guys remember Die Mann van Staal, the $6 million man. The man van Staal, anybody remember? Yes, a few of the older, well, not older, but, you know, yes, man van Staal. All my, if you were to go back and have a look at all of my photographs when I was like 5 to 10, I'd be standing like this. Something like that. You know, like, I would be running, my brothers and I. And then we'd be playing. You must go and watch it, YouTube, but you will be shattered. If you have any memories of the Man van Staal in your head, he was so amazing. Right, he could watch, he could look through walls and hear things 1,000 miles away. He could jump over fences. He was just so powerful. But all they did was they just slowed him down and they put some music to it. That's all. It's pathetic. But I thought it was amazing growing up. Now the superhero stuff is out of this world. Like Superman now jumps from Earth to Mars. It's just like, but it is still fake. The technology have improved, but it is still fake. Nobody could jump back then over buildings. Nobody can jump over buildings now. It is still fake. The word of God is true. For by my God, I can run against a troop and I can jump over a wall. There are troops and walls that we are confronted with spiritually. We can jump over them with God's strength. Impossible without Him. With Him, all things are possible. With Him, all things are possible. And so I'm wondering, I'm asking myself, am I still positioning myself against a troop? Am I still positioning myself against a wall? Because you don't need that kind of faith if you're not running against anything. Then you don't need the kind of faith. What's this faith business like? I'm okay. I'm not being challenged. I've got my money. I'm having my lekker life. I'm just going to live. Dan, wat de os dat je niet geloof nodig hebt. And you slowly just die. You don't even know you're dead. Because God has called us to live by faith. We are a people of faith. But we only need faith if we are in positions where we need faith. It's why stepping out is so crazy and scary. Because you need faith. And then we can criticize very lekker. You should do it like that. You should do it like that. You should do it like that. It is easy to sit in the chair and criticize. Step out in faith. I remember the other day I was like preaching in a congregation. I'm like, I feel the Lord saying, there's somebody here, the Lord has called her to work in SARS. He's going to promote her, take her into treasury environment. And she's going through a tough time. I just need to pray. Well, I didn't know it was a she. I need to pray for this person. So I give the word, and like, yeah, nobody puts up the hand. Nobody comes forward. Yes, like it. It's such a specific thing. SARS, treasury, and just like, oh, goodness. Slam my name with a plank. Lekker. You know, I hit my name with a plank for the guys to understand English, Afrikaans. And then later on, I get this email from somebody who had listened to the sermon and was up in Johannesburg for an interview with Treasury and going through a tough time. So I just want to thank you for that word. That word is for me. But you have to step out. It doesn't make sense to my mind at all. Am I dreaming this? Am I thinking this? And sometimes you get it wrong, but I'm going to continue walking by faith because it's worth it for that person on the other side now. Me taking the risk to be wrong. And if I'm wrong, I admit and I say, I'm sorry. I missed it. Please forgive me. Let's be honest as well when we get it wrong. Amen? Let's be honest. I missed it. But God wants to use us. Can we be a people of faith? Europe, filled with beautiful buildings, faith is out of the place. God is raising up a new generation outside of those buildings and there's beautiful things happening again. But I've got an urgency in my heart, saints. Let's not think it can't happen to us. Let's not think that that destiny can't be ours. We've got to contend for our faith. We've got to contend for our faith. We've got to contend for the life that God has called us to live. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So I'm still on that first verse. The Lord is my light. So what I've simply done was I just went to look at light. Where's God speaking about light? You can spend the whole day just looking at one verse, meditating upon that. Get all the scriptures on light. Say, Lord, thank you. You are my light. You will light my lamp. I see Uli and my lamp, Lord, you will fill my oil. Fill me again. Prayed the Holy Spirit last night. Holy Spirit, fill this vessel. Fill me. Fill me. Fill me. Get all the junk out of me and fill me, Holy Spirit. I need you. Fill me. And come and enlighten my life. The Lord is my light and my salvation. So I want to backtrack to that verse. It says, the Lord, if you meditate a little bit on the Lord, it's going to keep you busy. But it's important for you to understand that when we say the Lord is my light, you are not saying shofar is your light. You're not saying your biblical knowledge is your light. You're not saying your degree is your light. You're not saying your family heritage is your light. You're not saying that your marriage is your light. Your skin color is your light. Your bank balance is your light. The Lord is your light. And he's not the baby in the manger. He's not the dead body stuck on the cross. The Lord is my light. But who is the Lord? It is scary. So now we're ministering to this group of people. The most beautiful place for me. Out of all the mountains and beaches and things that we saw was actually the people of God. It was the most beautiful place. Having all those people together. Taiwanese, Zambians, guys from England and all over the place. China, Indonesia, in Shofar, Europe, coming together. Such a beautiful place. But then to speak to people and to minister to people and to know some of them come from ground zero. Their families don't know Jesus. Haven't been to church in generations. A couple from Bulgaria. There's no basis there. So you've got to explain everything. We have received much. We have received much, saints. We're going to stand before God one day. I, you, by ourselves, not me and Shofar. Me, alone, before God. I'm going to have to give an account to what did I see the Father do? What did he call me to do? And I cannot do that and I cannot fulfill that unless I walk by faith. God's dreams for me is too big for my own strength. Too big for my own eloquence, too big for my own experiences, too big. It's beyond me. It's beyond me. But with him, all things are possible. With him. With him. And so when I say the Lord is my light, Justin, go to that slide with the names of God. And it was just so crazy. You guys sang probably two songs at least about the name of Jesus this morning. But the name. Your name is victory. Your name is victory. Your name is victory. The Lord is my light. Isaiah prophesies this, gets picked up in the Gospels, that he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So when I say that the Lord is my light, I'm saying that the Mighty God is my light. If I'm in a situation that in which I feel small, a situation, maybe an addiction, maybe a family challenge, then the Mighty God is my light. Not a hopeless, uninvolved, uninterested God. The Mighty God is my light. He's my light. If you are challenged and you're confronted with something bigger than yourself, invite that God's light into your darkness. Mighty God, you are my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Because if your God is small, then it's easy to fear. One of the most powerful scenes for me is always, forgive me for bringing that into a church service, but Avengers, I think it's the first one, the second one, where Loki, this villain guy, is confronted by, I think, Iron Man, and then he speaks about how everybody on earth will worship him, and he's a god and everything, and then the Hulk comes in there, takes him by the ankle and just hits this guy, kaboom, 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 and he lies there on the ground, and Hulk says, puny god. He was just hopeless. He was a god in his own eyes, but he was just like a puny little god, insignificant, couldn't do anything. Our God isn't like that. Our God is a mighty God. But when we allow fear to become so big, then our God becomes, forgive the word, puny. Because we live like it. It's not, there's no stepping out. There's no, oh man, give me Goliath. Give me Goliath. Remember the whole army, all of their armor and stuff. Well, it's only Saul and Benjamin that had. Was it Benjamin? What's Saul's name? Son's name? Jonathan. Saul and Jonathan had armor. Rest of the army didn't. But they were intimidated by this giant. David comes and he acts in faith. So we're going to go out there today and live by faith as we pray for that street. Which is amazing for me. I think you guys can remember a couple of weeks ago, we had one of the prayer points the Lord gave us at Monday intercession was the N2. Remember? And he's saying the same thing to the body of Christ. We're going to come together. The Lord, the mighty God, is my light. The wonderful counselor is my light. The comforter is my light. We're going to pray for a few of our friends. Mia Cara, many of you guys know Mia Cara. It's about a year ago that she passed away. We're going to pray for her family. Where Daniel and Kate in our church lost their baby. Miscarriage, we're going to pray for them. You know what we're going to pray? We're going to pray that the Lord as our comforter will be their light. Will be their light. And will be their salvation. Otherwise, if we don't know that our God is a comforter, you know what? We pray for a situation like that and we lose our faith. We get completely intimidated. But if I know who our God is and I know that our God is a comforter, then we can pray, Holy Spirit, you as the comforter, be their light. Be their salvation. Invade the darkness of their brokenness, the darkness of their sadness, the darkness of their loss, which is so real. You can invade that with your light. If it's real. If it's not real, then they will just have to struggle through that in their own minds. But if it's real, then he will comfort them in a way that nobody can. And that's why we pray. Amen? Isn't that what we pray? We don't pray to make ourselves feel better or because we are just sympathetic with other people. We pray because we believe that our God can do the impossible. He can heal a couple's broken heart over going through a tragedy like that because he's a comforter and he's a Prince of Peace. Situations in this room maybe where your peace is being challenged, invite him. Lord, I invite you as my Prince of Peace. Shine your light into my darkness. I don't have time to go into all of them, but I want to ask some of you to do this invitation. The Lord, there's a whole bunch of names for God. I'm going to encourage you to get Desiree's book, What's in a Name. She speaks a lot about the power of names. But the Lord, in English, we lose the power of the translations. It just becomes nog 'n woord, the Lord, and we use that word vainly so often. But one of the meanings is when we speak about the Lord, is that he is Jehovah Jireh. So Jehovah Jireh is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Ben, can you come up? Jehovah Jireh is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? There are some of you in this room. You have got to take Jehovah Jireh as your light. And you've got to pray like David did. Jehovah Jireh, come and enlighten my darkness of financial stress and financial worry. Because it's becoming too much for my brain to figure out. I'm in this darkness and I'm just surviving. Jehovah Jireh, come. Be my light. And my salvation. Let's close our eyes as we and stand. Let's just activate our faith here and our bodies here. Oh God, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I know that in this room, Lord, that there are worshipers who are worshiping you in spirit and in truth. I know that in this room, Lord, there are people who desire to know you above all else. And we want to say like David did, God, that one thing we desire of the Lord, that we will seek, that we will chase after. This one thing, Lord, it is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of our lives. And so we thank you we can come to the house of the Lord. We thank you that you have come and you've made the house of the Lord not just a building, Lord God, but you've come to live inside of us. We thank you for dwelling inside of us, for the reality of that, but also thank you for the reality that you dwell amongst us. And that there's still a place where we can come to the house of the Lord, together, being built up into this house. And that your presence is here, and that your beauty is here, and that here where you are, there is life. And there where your life is, there is light. And there your light shines into the darkness, and the darkness cannot stand against it. Lord, and so this morning, I pray for an activation of faith, of ownership, oh God. Lord, to lay hold of the promises of God. to lay hold of that for which you have died for us. I thank you, Lord, that even this morning you come and you deliver us, Lord, from a spirit of apathy and intimidation, where so much of our hearts have lost, Lord, their passion and their fervor because we are intimidated by circumstances and intimidated by things that don't want to change. And Lord, we've lost sight of the rock of your word. We've lost sight of the rock of your word, but thank you for the reminder through your Holy Spirit, an invitation to build our house upon the rock again. You are our light. You are our salvation. Whom shall we fear? The Lord is the strength of my heart. Of whom shall I be afraid? If you have financial need in your life, and you're not being selfish, you're just being honest before God this morning. The Lord said that if he knows how to look after the flowers and the birds of the air, how much more will he not be able to take care of you, look after you? But sometimes we're like Sean, we're in a situation, things happen, and we're under pressure. And darkness wants to come and sit upon our minds. Darkness wants to possess our hearts. Fear wants to grip us. And we can't believe, we can't dream because we're just looking at the finances. We can't see, how can I go on that mission trip? How can I bless that person because my finances don't allow it? We're on this journey, all of us. There are no quick fixes, but God is our provider. Many years ago, I was praying. My folks had lived their entire lives in ministry. Eventually, were able to buy a house. My dad had to sell the house to get us through varsity. And so they, 55 odd, and there's a house that comes across their path, and they want to buy that house in the banks. And there's no way, you're 55 years old. We're not going to give you a loan. You don't even have a deposit. I remember I was still teaching at Edgemead, and I went into the little staff room. There was nobody. They closed the door, and I prayed and said, God, your word says, David said, that I was young and now I'm old, but never have I seen the righteous forsaken nor his children begging for bread. He's ever merciful, and he lends, and his descendants are blessed. My dad is a righteous man. He's been working for you, and you say in your word that you will not forget our labor of love. I had to decide, am I going to believe the bank or am I going to believe the word of God? My folks live in a house that's completely paid off. Not a cent of debt. Didn't have fancy investments and all of those things, but God was their provider. And I'm a blessed man because I'm a descendant of a righteous man. Almost all of the favor in my life is because of my dad. But we're to stand upon the word of God. There's this beautiful word in Psalm 43. The sons of Korah, they say that we have heard of you, O God. We have heard of you. Because our fathers have told us the things that you have done in their days, in days of old. How you cast out the nations, but them you planted. You afflicted the peoples. They didn't gain possession of the land by their own arm, neither did their own sword save them, but it was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your countenance because you favored them. Gustav spoke about it, such a word. We're conditioned to perform, 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 perform. We carry that into our finances, into our provision. We've got to be good stewards, amen? We've got to be good stewards, but we have what we have, and we will get what we get because of the Lord's favor upon our lives. The light of his countenance. And there's something inside of us that rebels against that. Saints, we are not going to move into the fullness of God's provision until we receive his favor. It comes our way because of the blood of Jesus. If you are here, let's close our eyes. You know you've got struggles financially. You know that there's an area of darkness, confusion, frustration there, and you need Jehovah Jireh to just enlighten your darkness. Don't know how, don't know when, don't know how the breakthrough is going to come. Don't know how, what he's going to do. He's going to give you wisdom. He's going to give you keys. He's going to give you plans. He might provide with an envelope full of money. He might provide with a blueprint for a new design. He might provide by getting you to connect with the right person. Who knows how he will provide, but he will provide. He will provide. He is faithful. just close your eyes. And if you need Jehovah Jireh to be your light and your salvation, don't just want to raise your hand. Just want to raise your hand and just ask Him, Lord, invade the darkness of my frustration, my finances. Don't be afraid. Just be honest. Be honest with Him. I want to confess this over us. Jehovah Jireh is our light and our salvation. Whom shall we fear? Jehovah Jireh is the strength of our life. Of whom shall we be afraid? Father, I thank You. Those of you guys just standing around, the people with their hands raised, just lay your hands on them, please, quickly. Just there's breakthrough, there's deliverance in just our humility. There are dreams in the hearts of these people. There are dreams in the hearts of these people. They're standing in faith, they're trusting God for great things. Father, I thank You. I thank You. Do we have all? Let me make sure everybody has somebody just hands on them. Thank You, Lord. I pray right now, Lord, that You will shine Your light, that You will flood Your light. Jehovah Jireh, You are our light and our salvation. Thank You, Lord, right now. Let's just speak light over their circumstances, light over the wisdom that they need. Just speak the word over them. So, Lord, thank You. You are my brother's light. You are his salvation. Jehovah Jireh, You are their provision. Speak blessing over them. Oh, Father, thank You. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You, God. Thank You, Jesus. It's Your name, oh God. It's Your name. It's Your name. It's Your name. The victory lies. It's Your name. There's some of you, and God is wanting to stir your faith. He wants to stir just the ministry that He's given you in finances, an anointing to be a blessing. Lord, I break the power of shame over Your people that wants us not to believe You and trust You, God, to be good towards us and to provide for us. Thank You, Jehovah Jireh. You are our provision. I thank You for the faithful men and women. I just feel God is saying, You have been faithful. You are good stewards. I want to bless You. I want to bless You, but it's not going to be through Your arm. It's not going to be through Your clever plans. It's going to be through His right hand, His arm, and the light of His countenance, because He favors you. Lord, as a church, we receive favor from You to be a blessing to our community, God. Thank You, Lord, for the businesses, Lord, in this place that You raise up. The individual bank balances that You bless in this place. So we can be a blessing, Lord. Enlighten our darkness. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for dreams. Thank You for dreams. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for the jobs that will be created out of this house. Thank You. Thank You. There's someone here, you were 18 years old and you dreamt crazy dreams with God. You were in a coffee shop and you wrote those dreams down. It was a Starbucks and you wrote them down and you dreamt with God. You are so intimidated now by just the mundaneness of your life. It just feels like those dreams are so far away from you. God says to you, He hasn't changed His mind. He hasn't changed His mind. He hasn't changed His mind. Invite His light. Invite His light. The revelation of how He sees you, the revelation of His plans. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. The Lord, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. He is our light and He is our salvation. Whom shall we be afraid? If you have an area in your life you need healing, or you know somebody who needs healing, just raise your hand. I'm going to invite the light of God's healing power into your life. Just raise your hand nice and high. Just keep it up. And we have the people around them, just go and lay your hands on them, saints. We're going to invite the light of God's healing power. Right? This is not magic. This is not sucking these things out of our minds. This is the word of God we're speaking. Lord, thank You, Jehovah Jireh. You are our provider, Jehovah Rapha. You are our healer. You are the Lord who heals. And You can heal by whichever means You choose. We thank You for the doctors, the physios, the speech therapists, we thank you for all the wonderful skills that you have given them. And we honor you for that wisdom, Lord, and that practical knowledge that you have given them. But we thank you that you also heal supernaturally. And right now, Lord, we confess over Shofar Somerset West and over everyone in this room, for their own physical bodies and for those, Lord, around them. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, you, the Lord, our healer. You are our light and our salvation. Whom shall we fear? Blindness, deafness, barrenness, sickness. We will not fear you. We will not fear you. We will not fear you because the Lord, our healer, he is our light. He is our salvation. He is the strength of our life. He is the strength of our life. Lord, thank you. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over every spirit of infirmity in the name of Jesus that has come against this church to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you. You will not steal from us. You will not steal life. You will not steal joy. You will not steal mobility. You will not steal purpose. You will not steal flexibility. You will not steal movement in the kingdom of God. You will not hamper obedience to God. Thank you for your light. You enlighten our darkness, oh God. I speak healing, healing over bodies here. Many standing proxy for friends and family members. Lord, I speak healing, light in Jesus' name, a light in the name of Jesus. Just thank the Lord and say to him, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, my healer, my provider, thank you. You are my light. You are my light. Just thank you. And as we finish off, he is our peace, Jehovah Shalom. Some of you in this room, there's an area in need of God's peace. Somebody at work, you're a crucial person. You're between the management at the top and the people underneath you, and you're in between. And God wants to give you the ministry of reconciliation, but you feel like torn. So also someone here in your family, you feel torn between your brothers. You've got to reconcile and it's just tearing you apart. You need the light of God's peace. So to someone here, the state of our country is driving you insane. You need God's peace. Anybody in area of need for peace, just raise your hands. We want to pray for you. It's an area of darkness. We want to pray just the light of God's peace over you. Can we look around, saints, and just go and lay our hands on our brothers who are vulnerable right now. Father, thank you. Thank you. Let's if you can pray in the Spirit, just pray in the Spirit. If you pray in English or Afrikaans, let's not switch off now. Just a bit of ministry time we're going to use. We lay hold of the Word of God. Jehovah Shalom, you are our peace. You are our peace. And I thank you right now that the light of your peace floods right now, Lord, circumstances that are beyond our control. Circumstances, Lord, that are beyond our fixing. Just give up control there. There are some of us, we just need to give up control. We're trying to fix people's hearts. You can't do that. Some of you, you're trying to keep the peace. You can't do that. God didn't call you to keep the peace. Call us to make peace. You can't keep people together. Just let them go. Surrender them into the Lord's hands. Jehovah Shalom. You are my light. You are my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Someone, you fear isolation and being alone. Lord, we thank you that the light of your peace floods that isolated heart right now. Floods that heart. Floods that heart right now and brings peace. Thank you, Lord, that you shepherd us. Just with the peace, I just felt that there's rest. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is our shepherd. With that peace, he shepherds us and he guides us. Lord, I pray for those, Lord, who feel like lost sheep without purpose. Don't know where they're going. Don't know what your purpose is for their lives. Don't know what your plans are for their lives. I pray now, Lord God, the one who shepherds us. You are our light. You are our salvation. Jesus, Jesus. Your name is our victory. In your name is our victory. In your name is our victory. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to continue to lift up our hearts before God. Just declare in His name there's victory for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that this church belongs to you. This church belongs, this congregation belongs to you. And Jesus, that you are our light. You are our salvation. The Holy Spirit is busy just dealing with some of us. So if you need prayer, don't you want to slip out, just do that right there. We want to pray with you and to cement this. I specifically felt also there's some of you, you need just to submit to the Lord's discipline. He's a loving shepherd. He's not going to break you. He's simply wanting to just bring you in line with His purpose for your life.
All right, I just want to share one last testimony. I had to share it earlier, but I think I just had to put some boldness together. But yeah, the Lord really blessed my business this last month. I started my own jewelry business about a year ago, and the last month was really like the best month ever. It's just like out of the blue. And in the jewelry industry, this like August is really a quiet month, actually. It's so like unusual for it to be, like my factory supplies 50 jewelers all over South Africa. And they almost said, like, I'm keeping them the busiest. So it's really just a blessing. It's nothing that I did. So I really just want to encourage people that feel like they have to do it in their own strength. It's really not true. You can just surrender and believe that He will bless you. And He really wants to. It's not something you can go look for. I didn't go look for any of my clients. Literally each person, like, came to me. It's not like I even marketed that much. It's just, if you're willing and you surrender your workplace, you surrender your life, like every part, He will come and bless. Even if you feel like, well, I've been doing that for the last couple of years, why isn't it happening? Just know that it will happen. Like, He is faithful. And that is like, just something I want to encourage you with this morning. Okay.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's praise Him. If you need prayer, step out to the right, a little bit away from the speakers. We'd love to continue to pray with Him. But let's just finish on the song of declaration. Jesus, it's Your name which we have our victory. Hallelujah. While Daniel is tuning his guitar, the Holy Spirit is using this moment to remind me of communion. So as we go, I want to encourage you to just lay hold of a moment. Right? Sometimes we just rush. We need to just take that moment. A moment to thank God that His body was broken for you. Make it personal. Thank you, Lord, that Your body was broken for me. You are my life. You are my salvation. And I specifically want us, as we do that, let's pray for those families, Mia, Cara, and Daniel, and Kate. Thank God that He will cover them and comfort them. All right, but what the Lord has done this morning, say, Lord, I thank You. This is mine. I take it. I'm not going to go back. I'm not going to be on the shaky ground where my lighthouse is going to move and my sense of purpose is going to move. I'm built upon the rock. All right, so we have the community elements there. You can just, maybe you want to go with your wife or with a friend. Maybe you need to get a dreamer. Get your dream buddy here in this room. So I'm dreaming about this dream. And I just want to give it to God again and say, I'm dreaming about the nations. I'm dreaming about that school. I'm dreaming about the company. I'm dreaming about the practice. I'm dreaming about this family. Get somebody just to agree with you around the Word of God. All right, so the community elements is there. You can partake of that as the band plays for us. And You can come back and you can worship. You can go and get your kids. You can come for prayer. The service is officially winding down. Please, let's respect the atmosphere here. Let's just start chatting now. Let's do business with God and not miss the moment. If you are new and visiting us, you can hang around a little bit more. We've got a guest corner there at the back. We would love to spend some time with you. Let's just stay in this atmosphere of surrender to God. Let's not care right now. Let's just spend this time just fellowshipping with God, doing business with Him.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.